This is Catherine Malinowski, bringing you what I hope is a moment of sanity at the start of your day, a moment of truth from God's Word, a moment of grace. A warning before this episode starts. I know it's a little too early for the German language, so I apologize in advance. Wer die Vergangenheit nicht ehrt, verliert die Zukunft. Wer seine Wurzeln vernichtet, kann nicht wachsen. This quote hangs next to a tree and a doorway in one of my favorite museums in the world. It roughly translates to, whoever does not honor the past loses the future, whoever cuts their roots cannot grow. It's a powerful statement regardless of the context, but hanging in a museum in Austria, a country that had a role in starting two world wars, it's especially poignant. A favorite book of mine further echoes this sentiment. In German, it's called Was hat das mit mir zu tun? But in English, it's titled A Crime in the Family. Personally, I think the German title is better. It translates roughly to, what does this have to do with me? In the book, a Hungarian reporter grapples with a difficult question when he finds out at age 30 that his great aunt, who he often saw as a child, wasn't the great aunt he thought she was. She had in fact been nicknamed the Hostess from Hell and was tied to some pretty awful things that had occurred during World War II. He dives deep into the history and the past. How did he not know this? His story quickly reveals that it wasn't that people didn't know what had happened, but it was more that people didn't want to talk about what had happened. I'd like to say I don't get it, but on a much smaller scale, I do. It's easy to want to hide the messy parts of life, to push away the things we struggle with or only talk about them once they have passed and we can attach a useful and neat lesson learned with a pretty bow. Yet, messy truths build far stronger friendships than polite facades. And today's lectionary reading from 2 Corinthians 12 is a great reminder of that. Verses 7 to 10 read, So, to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Maybe it's my inner American, or maybe I'm just stubborn. But this is a hard passage for me to apply. Not because I don't believe God is sufficient, but because in order for God's grace to be sufficient for me, I have to believe that I myself am insufficient. But you see, this is a huge obstacle, because oftentimes I'd really rather rely on myself than ask for help or admit that I'm suffering. It's much easier to ignore the pain, to try and brush it under a rug. But that's not how we get help or grow. And we can't receive God's strength until we know our weakness. In the passage, Paul admits that he has a thorn in his side and that it's still there. He begs God to remove it. But he doesn't get the answer he thinks he needs, relief. He gets something that's far greater, grace. And any way you read it, this is great news. My grace is sufficient for you. Not our own doing, but a gift from God. My grace is sufficient for you. We are being freely given something that we could never afford. My grace is sufficient for you. It's active now. God's grace is at work in this very moment. It's not in the past, and it's not a promise for the future. It's meeting the need here. My grace is sufficient for you. It won't disappoint. It's enough. My grace is sufficient for you, for me, for you. It's personal. God sees us and knows what we need. Paul is reminding us to focus on the grace of God in Jesus Christ. By admitting our weakness and drawing attention to our suffering, we aren't advertising that we are without the Spirit of God, but rather showing that God is, in fact, at work in us to strengthen our faith. Paul is being taught to rely on Christ in the midst of his suffering, because Christ's greatest achievement is far greater than our own. Our God is no stranger in suffering. We find him entering into the world, not in a lavish palace, but in a cold, filthy manger, surrounded by unbelievers and violent enemies, and leaving pretty much the same way, thirsty and bloody, dying on a cross. The God whose power is made perfect in our weakness is the God who, in great weakness, but really great strength, saved us from sin and death. In death, he shows the strength of grace. that in his resurrection, we too may have a new life. So much of the power of this world is expressed in things that can only bring harm and destruction, in wars, killer countesses, and self-reliance. Yet, God loves to show his upside-down power through his goodness and grace. Sometimes, we might be tempted to associate goodness with cowardice or timidity, but grace is neither weak nor wimpy. Rather, it is the greatest gift of strength we can receive. So, what does it have to do with me? Everything. Because I am in desperate daily need of God's grace. Because without his strength, how would we stay well and do good?
Good Morning City Church is a weekday podcast produced by the staff and members of City Church of Richmond, located in Richmond, Virginia. To learn more about us, please visit citychurchrva.com. That's citychurchrva.com. And thanks for listening.